Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're continuing the conversation today, this prophetic word. You know, what did Jesus say? And what sparred this was, you know, the Lord speaking to me. And the Lord just began to speak to me in a night vision and show me some detailed things about how we got to be prepared. You know, and he tells us to have your feet prepared with the gospel of peace. You got to be able to keep our peace no matter the circumstances. And I'm not good at that. I mean, I'm better at it than I used to be. You're better at it than you used to be. Aren't you better than you used to be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
We still need help.
Definitely. Lots of grace.
Now, John, he can keep his peace.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
He's cool.
But think about it. If we can't keep our peace, it's like, dear Lord, we need help. We can keep our peace. And the thing about it is you know, as the Lord is talking to the disciples about when he's coming back and what's going to happen before he comes back in Luke chapter 21, that's what we're talking about. 21:1-36, and if you missed our earlier programs, this is the third part of that, so you can be encouraged and maybe go back and listen to that. But he tells us to be prepared beforehand, and that's what we're doing right now. We're like, okay, I'm hearing you. I'm realizing there's some things I need to work on in my life. I need to abide to begin to have God change the way I handle things and the way I do things. And we got to say, you know, I lay that down at the cross. And there's something so specific about abiding is that you know, the way we kind of share you to do it at iabide.org, kind of share you a simple pattern. It needs to be simple and duplicatable, because if it's complicated, only you can do it. And now you're not promulgating, you're not reproducing after yourself. It's not about just you. It's about everybody. And five simple words, you know, every day that you spend time with the Lord. And if you miss a day, you know, it's not about that. This is kind of a five simple words. One is gratitude. I get me a little blank journal and I spend time with God and I say, you know what? I write the word gratitude. Like, what am I grateful for? To the Lord, not from other stuff. Just like, God, you're acknowledging how God made that or did that or provided that or moved in your life. That's what this gratitude is about. This is not about men, you and stuff. And so, because in Romans chapter 1, he says the reason why judgment came is because they failed to acknowledge God and be grateful to God. And so every day, think about it. And it just puts things in perspective. It's hard to complain and whine and all that when you're actually, you know, not that John does, but the, right.
Anymore.
Right. Has John ever complained?
I don't complain.
Right
well,
today.
John.
But think about it. So you write down gratitude. What am I grateful for today? And it's like, thank you, Lord, for. You know, you just write it down, whatever. It could be just a small statement, but you'll find out when you start seeing him in your life, and he's all in your life, he's waiting for you to acknowledge him in your life. And that's that moment. And if that's all you ever do that day, it's okay. I mean, imagine if your son or your daughter comes into you as a parent and they go, I just want to tell you how grateful I am for you, how you provided us a house and how you've provided me a room in this house and you filled that pantry. You've worked so hard, Mama. You worked so hard, Dad, filling this pantry with food and you fixed it, and I'm just so grateful. I'm going to go off and study right now because I'm grateful for my education and that you're letting me go to the school right here and not even asking me to work during this time. I just want to say thank you. Believe me, your parents are okay with that.
We don't have
to say anything else. Well, if your parents are okay with that, I mean, think about God, who's perfect. He's okay with gratitude.
Yes.
The gratitude will bring you into, but I'm also grateful for your word. And the next word that you would put down in your journal would be word. Because thy word hath a hit in my heart that I'm not going to sin against you. You know, I want to get into God's word. And what verse of scripture am I trying to hide in my heart this week? And for the whole week, that's one verse. I will just meditate on that particular verse. And then I'll just start reading the word of God. Reading the word of God and where the Lord is leading me, maybe systematically or whatever. But I stop when something jumps off the page, when I feel like the Lord's speaking to me about a particular scripture, and it's like, wow, you know, and it's living, it's active, and it'll just jump off. Then what happens is then you take stop and write the word where, W-H-E-R-E, and then just write down that scripture. That's where God stopped you, is where God spoke to you, and you write that down. You don't keep going, just stop. There's just a relationship going on between you and the Lord. You're learning how to have a conversation with the Lord, and what's he saying to you? Mm-hmm. And the next word you write is what? Write the word what? And in that, you would say, God, what are you saying to me about me? Mm-hmm. What are you saying to me? Not what is he saying to you about your spouse, about mm-hmm. your children. I mean, this is your time with God. You can deal with all those things later in your prayer time. But what are you saying to me about me with this? What is it? And then you write that down, whatever it is. It could be, you know, two or three words. It could be two or three pages. I don't know. It's a blank journal. Then after you have that, you just soak on that. And you think, my goodness. And the last thing that you put down, the last of the five words is cross. C-R-O-S-S. Understand, outside of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, outside of the acknowledgement and the acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and his finished work on the cross of Christ, you will not have the power and the ability or the grace to walk out this relationship with God. It empowers you. What God did on that cross and finished on that cross and Jesus finished, your faith in Jesus and your faith in that finished work will empower you. And what happens quite often, we start picking things up we shouldn't pick up. We start worrying about something, or something is so big we can't even wrap our brains around it, and we have to deal with it. We don't know what to do. And we say, you know what, Lord, I just thank you for your finished work on the cross, and I'm going to lay whatever it is down. I'm going to lay America down. Right. I'm just going to lay it down to the cross, and I'm just going to trust you with this because you finished this work. It could be your children. It could be your spouse. It could be your job, finances, economy. It could be a million different things. I mean, whatever it is. And you consciously just let go of that and lay that down at the cross at that moment. And then you say, hey, you start talking to God. You just praise God. And this, your whole prayer life changes at this point. And I want to encourage you, if you have not yet began to abide, that's how simple it is. Five simple words. Gratitude. He says, enter my gates with thanksgiving. Gratitude. The second is word. Thy word hath I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. Well, if we don't have God's word in our heart, we're sinning, probably don't even know it. Mm. If we're forgetting God's word, we actually could be doing things against God's word and don't know it. But if we're constantly in his word actually guides us like a shepherd's rod and keeps us from, or at least lets us know to turn back, as Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7. He said that that the law is spiritual and I'm unspiritual. And the law lets me know when I've done wrong. Therefore, I rejoice in the law, mm-hmm. rejoice in the word. Not, it doesn't save us, but it lets us know when to repent. And then the word, and then the where, you know, where is God stopping me? Where is he speaking to me? Write that down. And then the what? God, what are you saying to me about me? And then finally the cross. Lord, what do I need? Sometimes everything's fine. You can't think of anything. You can just say, God, thank you for your, because you need to be constantly reminded. You said, it is finished. Mm-hmm. It is finished. Mm-hmm. And it just puts you at great peace when you know it is finished. So I encourage you, if you have not yet began to abide with the Lord, you need to do it today. It's very simple. Gratitude, word.
Where?
What? And cross. Is that not simple? You can do that with a crayon.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking forward to hearing your testimony. We are continuing this conversation that we began in an earlier program, and we mentioned abiding at the beginning of this program to let you know outside of abiding with Jesus Christ that it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just want to ease you to help you understand that that God's going to empower you to be able to do this. And we're talking about, the disciples asked the question, when would you be coming back and what would it be like? They asked Jesus this. And so in Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 36, we've been kind of talking about that because of the fact that Jesus, the Lord just revealed to me some wisdom about how we need to be prepared for this. Because we talked about in the earlier program that when things start happening, we can misinterpret the signs and we can become defensive. We could think that people, it's about us, and we can have a fear of man versus a fear of God and those different things that we talked about. And it's like, you know, I got to have fear of God.
That's right.
We need to be more concerned about disappointing or displeasing God than displeasing man. Oh, and God will test you in that. He will actually have every man that you can imagine be displeased with you.
Oh yeah.
When you're the most pleasing to God, and it's like, mm-hmm. how in the world, don't you know who I am and where I am? This is, you know, what are you talking about? And right. It's like, that's a test. Will you, when you have, you don't have the praise of men, will you still praise me? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's an intimate, you know, sort of like saying you're going to marry your wife. And you're like, when you say there's no other man, it's only me, nobody else, you know, are you going to still be happy in the context of that? And so many people in America today just say, you know, if it don't work out, I got a clause, you know, I'll get out of this relationship. Well, that, you know, don't want to do that with God. You know, it's about loyalty to him. And so he talked about, we talked about in the earlier program, and in this particular chapter, when he was talking to him, he said in verse 12, he says, but before all this happens, because he said, you know, be prepared beforehand. Before all this happens, he says, you'll be seized, you'll be persecuted. They'll hand you over to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before authority, before kings and governors on account of me. We've talked about that already. And that's why we talked about abiding. You need to build that relationship with Jesus Christ so that you know that this is what it's about and not get offended. It's not about you. It's not about me. We've denied ourselves. We picked up our cross and we follow Jesus, right? So it wouldn't be about us. Mm-mm. And he says, and the purpose of it is so that you'll give a testimony about him. I mean, how many people's working at their defense plan and their reputation plan versus, like, this is a perfect time. They're abiding with God and studying. How can I preach the gospel here? Mm-hmm. And some people say, do you know how crazy they're going to think this is? And it's like, yeah, most people that are in darkness are. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. But I believe it was King Agrippa that said to Paul, you almost convinced me. Mm-hmm. You almost convinced me. Well, that's pretty powerful when you're the prisoner right. standing in chains, right? And he says, and make up your mind beforehand. And that's what we're talking about. I really believe that's what the Lord is saying. Listen, prepare yourself for this journey. Prepare yourself for it. And in verse 15, we're picking up here. He says, for I will give you at that particular time, if you prepare yourself for it, don't worry about defending yourself. He's saying here in verse 15, he says, listen, he's telling the disciples what it will be like. He says, I will give you words and wisdom. So that's what happens. And understand, I believe that's going to happen when you abide with the Lord. I mean, when you're used to hanging out with God and you're used to hearing his voice, you know, you're not easily led astray by men's conversations and men's schemes and all that stuff he talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, but you're used to hearing his voice. And he says, listen, I'm going to give you words. I'm going to give you wisdom. And so you got to get used to that now. That's how you prepare yourself. Learn how to hear wisdom now. Learn how to hear the voice of the Lord now. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow none other. Understand, that's what Jesus said. So forget about what men are saying. If they're telling you, you don't have to follow his voice. You need to actually not only follow it. He said, there'll be a day that you'll hear the voice of the Son of Man and you shall live and have eternal life. And so you cannot not know him and be saved by him. You have to know him.
Right.
And so he says, you know, verse 15, he says, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries, I mean, think about that. None of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. He's not saying you're going to walk in with some fancy ideas and you got this whole 3 points and a farewell ready to go here. I mean, because he allowed this to happen in your life and he's bringing you before authority and people that you couldn't have access to before. It's amazing who you get access to during these moments. Mm-hmm. And truly, a lot of people are just showing up to see, you know, your disgrace.
Yeah.
They're showing up. And that is your moment to shine for him, because you'll spend eternity, you know, what men think is all, you know, whatever.
Temporal.
But understand that's your moment to be faithful and loyal to him when everything is like that. And and he says, I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. And you need to learn how to abide now with God. So when you are in those predicaments, somebody says, well, what do you need? Do you want a steak? Do you want... You know, do you want a good attorney? And you can say, you know, I'd like to have my Bible and my journal.
That's right.
I'm working on something.
Right. And a pen.
And a pen, right?
And a pen.
And a pen. And so in verse 16, he goes on and says, understand, this is what he's saying. That's what he's saying. That's going to happen. So don't worry about it and prepare yourself ahead of time for this. And he says, you will be betrayed. So understand that earlier part of what we're talking about in the earlier parts of the programs, and you can catch them, is that just relax a little bit. If Jesus was betrayed, you're going to be betrayed.
That's right.
I mean, of course, the shocker is who does it. But the reality is, if it happened to Jesus, it's going to happen to you. You got to brace yourself for that. The question is not were you betrayed, is how loyal to you or to are you to Jesus during your time of betrayal. You know, and this is what he says: you will be betrayed. Even by parents. He didn't say just anybody. He says, even by parents and brothers. I mean, he broke it up. You know? And sisters and relatives and friends. And they'll even put some of you to death. Hmm. Welcome to the family reunion. Today we're going to crucify Uncle whoever. You know, he's like, Think about it, right?
That's right.
It's like, oh my goodness. This is Jesus saying this. So I don't know what Jesus people have been telling you about, but this is actually Jesus' words.
This is the gospel according to Jesus.
And so this is what he's saying. But think about it as the love that it is that, do you still love me? Are you still loyal to me when people are demanding you to serve them over me and to love them more than you love me? Will you love me? Will you love me when things don't go right for you? Will you love me when the American gospels prove wrong and the true gospel may be in Nepal, you know, in regards to everybody don't end up with a Cadillac and a mansion but do you still love me when things are not as they makes your flesh comfortable? Do you still love me when your family doesn't love you? Think about it. That's what he says. The whole thing is, if you see it that way, it really helps out versus like, I'm a soldier and I'm going to do this thing, and you'll end up hurting somebody and maybe even hurting your eternity there. But he said, you will be betrayed. So I looked that up, and that means you will be betrayed. So just relax. You're not the first one to be betrayed, and you won't be the last one. Just pray that you're not one that betrays somebody,
right?
Please. Jiminy betrayal crickets. Anyway, so he's breaking up the family and saying, listen, relax. Everything around you could very well betray you. Not necessarily so, but some of that could. And then he says in 17, he says, and everyone will hate you. Everyone will hate you. One of the biggest difficulties that we have as human beings is wanting to be liked. Mm-hmm. Wanting everybody to like me. And you see these people that are just like, you know, they're like social butterflies. You know, they know everybody's name, mm-hmm. and they're a little bit about this person, that person, and they talk of them as if they're just, you know, great relationship. But the truth is they need that person's approval. They need to make themselves feel valuable. They're networking because they need that person to feel good about them. And if you thought that person, and maybe I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you, maybe that if you thought that person hated you, you couldn't even function. And the truth is, he's telling you, you know, prepare yourself ahead of time for this. Prepare yourself ahead of time for this and understanding that everyone is going to hate you. Not because of you deserve to be hated. That's not, some people are hated because they're just hateful.
Right.
But he says, everyone's going to hate you because of me. And that's so important. That's what I'm really talking about here. See, if you don't know this Jesus you proclaim to know, and now you start going through rough times, imprisonment, false accusations, hating on you because of him, you know, you will separate yourself from him. You won't want to remember the lawyer was, you know, talked about Jesus this and Jesus that and Jesus this, but he never brought Jesus up. Never brought Jesus up at the workplace. And the only thing we did, the only thing we asked him to do was, you know, just put this armband on that said God, G-O-D, gratitude, obedience, and dependency. But it actually, the acronym was God.
Right.
And he wears it to work, and he feels like everybody's staring at him, and he's just like, ooh, you know, and it's like, yeah, now that you're wearing God on the outside. But you know what happened? It rocked his world. He became a loyal follower to Jesus Christ to the point that he gave up his law practice. He put it on the side and went to go help children who have been abandoned by their parents and is a parent to the fatherless today. He and his wife and his children went to do that. It was beautiful.
Yeah, sure did.
But it wasn't until you put God on the outside. And imagine when you begin to testify openly that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you're loyal to him above anybody else, and that you will wear anything with his name on it unashamedly. Because he said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven, which means it's not going to go good at the throne room, no matter what people tells you. Jesus said, I'll be ashamed of you. And he says, everyone will hate you because of me. That's a big, huge test in the context of our relationship with him. But then he goes on and says this, and we're going to continue this in another program because you've got to hear every part of this, because we're talking about prophetic signs are happening everywhere right now. And it's like, my goodness, we are in that season. But Jesus goes on to say, he says, but not a hair on your head will perish. He loves you. The question is, do you love him? He says, not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. Think about that. Stand firm and you'll win life. You know, we got to go through something. A testimony without the test is nothing but the monies. And that's not a good relationship. But when you have a testimony, he said, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimonies, mm-hmm. us going through something and us, not just us alone, but us standing before those authorities and standing before those officials and standing before our bosses and saying, listen, Jesus is the answer, brother. Jesus is the answer. We've been talking recently about an unction, a word, a vision the Lord had given about these days. And we're going through it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news, you know. We're talking about the disciples asked Jesus, what's it going to be like, you know, before you're coming and when you're coming? And so it's pretty interesting so far. If you missed the earlier programs, you need to catch them, but you can catch them all at VFNTV.com if you did miss them. It's all available to you free of charge. And so God spoke to me very specifically in this dream about this whole thing. I went to go abide with him that morning. And all of a sudden, then he led me to the scriptures that what he was saying, and because I'm asking God, you know, what does this mean? And then right here to Luke, you know, of all the things. And the biggest thing is he's telling us what it's going to be like, but he's telling us to be prepared beforehand. Be prepared beforehand in Luke 21. And Luke 21, verse 1 through 36 is what we've been talking about. And just, you want to be prepared. I want to be prepared. And think about it is how often in what's being taught is that, you know, nobody's telling you to be prepared. They're just saying you're going to, you know, the rapture is going to happen. You're going to go to church. You're going to go to heaven.
One day you'll know.
You'll know and everything will be fine versus being prepared to be loyal to the Lord in difficult circumstances. And he's talking about there's some things that are going to be happening before this happens. And we're starting to see some of that even now. And he even said that when these things happen, if you know, I'm going to give you some wisdom. I'm going to give you some words. If you're listening to me, I'm going to talk to you and you're going to hear me. And when you share those words, they're going to be so powerful that nobody can resist them or can contradict those words. Mm-hmm. But then he goes right in, even though, and understand that means these words were not about you getting out of jail free card type thing or getting out of something or whatever. It was about touching those folks. That was the whole point of it, because he goes right into, and you'll be betrayed.
Right.
So it's not about, you know, this is the big thing with the American gospel. A lot of it's been preached that everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be peachy king. Everything's going to be perfect. But that's not the Bible. That's not what the word says about the church. Mm-mm. That's not the things that Jesus is saying right here. And when you're in love and you're loyal to someone, I mean, that's going to be tested. When you're in love with the Lord, that's going to be tested. Your love's going to be tested. And he says, this is what he says. He says, that's all you'll have to be able to show him on that day at his throne room is the testing of your faith. Did you have confidence and surety? Was your faith, he said, which is more precious than gold, that you loved him through all of it. You stayed loyal to him through every bit of that. And that's what we want to be. We want to be, you know, loyal to Jesus, and which is a grace that we all need. And I'm hoping in this program we can just, you know, wrap this up and close it out. You know, and he's talking about, you know, all these things are happening in verse 17, going right into Luke 21:17 to start talking about it. He says, everyone will hate you because of me. And it's so important to understand, if we don't have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not going to pass that, because people have a fear of man. They're going to want man's approval. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather have my wife or my husband or my friend or my children love me more than God. And he says, and so that test comes in at that point. He says, but if you stay loyal to me, understand this, not one hair on your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. Mm. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole message being taught that's like, hey, you've already got it. There ain't no winning here.
Right.
And it's like, if you don't stay loyal to the Lord, really, you could actually betray the Lord and live for Lucifer. And God's going to go, you know, well averted, son, enter into the... So verse 20, he starts talking about, you know, some signs now, because he talked about progressions, things that are going to happen, then this has to happen first. And we've talked about the earlier programs. And in verse 20, he says, but when you see Jerusalem, and remember, Jerusalem is in the news now consistently. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. But think about that. When you start seeing, right now, what are we seeing right now? We're seeing Israel just surrounded. I mean, not all just directly, like right next. It's like, it's a several nations thick. And sad to say, according to what just happened recently with our own Secretary of State, John Kerry, and what our president is doing, they're fueling the enemies of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at verse 20. Jesus said, this is going to be happening. And I would say, you know, the armies themselves, you know, we don't see them, you know, manifesting, but we definitely could put a dot by it if you're actually in a time management, which means it's in process outside of God stopping it. In verse 21, he says, then let those who are in Judea flee. That's the West Bank, by the way. When you hear West Bank, that's actually Judea area. Then those who are in Judea, let those in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. Let those in the country not enter the city. Isn't it interesting? It's always like, get out of the city. Get out of the city. You know, we look at Lot and his wife was like, get out of the city. Get out of the city. Because it's something about men when we stack up. When we don't have stuff between us, we end up, things not going well for some reason. We don't last long in that predicament in loyalty and holiness. In verse 22, he says, for this is the time of punishment to fulfill all that has been written. So now you're looking at something taking place. He says, how dreadful it'll be for those in those days for pregnant women and nursing women. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until, this is so important, until the number of the Gentiles are fulfilled. What does that mean? Is, you know, we're praying for Israel. We're praying for the salvation of the Jews. We're praying for protection of Jerusalem, and that we're praying. But the thing is that if you're not out preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, you're delaying, it's this thing that keeps happening to Israel over and over again. That's going to keep happening until the full number of the Gentiles come in. And it's not like, God's not, from what I'm reading here, you know, the words of Jesus, he's not saying, that's enough. There's a number. There is a number. There's something that he's looking for. And it's like he's waiting for us to preach the gospel to them, to tell them. Understand, we can stop the pain in Israel by preaching the gospel to the Gentile. Isn't that powerful? It just touched my heart. That's so powerful. It means that's why the enemy's trying to keep you from obeying that call on your life. You know, that's why he's trying to keep you from even just partner with VFN TV Daily Radio Program. Think about it. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're preaching the gospel to the world. You know, we want people to be saved. I mean, if you're tied up, you can't do it, partner with us. We'll do it together. But he says, listen, Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. In other words, people who don't know, who are not Jewish, will do damage to the Jews and to Israel until enough of those who are trampling over it have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, right? Is that kind of, yeah?
That's right.
And so we got to go preach to them. And then he says in 35, he says, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars. Man, that sounds like the four blood moons.
Sure does.
Sounds like, I mean, I'm smelling something here. I mean, it's like, we're close, you know, things are happening. And he says, and on the earth, nations will be in anguish. I mean, nations. And I could just even sense America's heading in a direction. If we do not repent, if we do not turn, there's just going to be this anguish in our nation and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. You know, I just give a big shout out down to Cindy down in Lakeland, but she just sent me this dream, and it's over and over again, we're seeing the welling up of the seas. How is it? 2/3 of the earth's covered in as an ocean or something like that. And it's like, you know, it's almost, you think about when you get sick, you know, your stomach, the acids in your stomach that God has designed to help digest your food, it just gets really disturbed. It's like it's an ocean going. But it's almost like this living earth at the redemption and begins to be perplexed into anguish. All of a sudden, the seas just start foaming up and things start happening. And and what she saw specifically was, and we'll make this hopefully available on the VFN Torch, she saw the seas get so rough that it began to just swallow these ships and take these things down. And it means something when you start seeing these things take place. And it's perplexing. Perplexing means I just can't figure, why is all this stuff happening? And look how many things are happening as we speak right now. And perplexed over the tossing of the sea, people will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And so he's talking about, you know, people are going to be terrified. They're going to be fearful. I came to give you good news. You don't have to be afraid anymore. There's, stop taking all that meds to just hide your fear and just start. So, you know what? I'm going to build my relationship with Jesus Christ. He is able to give me a vision outside of this life. He's able to redeem my nervous system and redeem my mind. And I don't have to go to all these therapists. The reality is you're just afraid. You're fearful. You have all these fears. And it's like, as a matter of fact, I come against that spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus, and I bind it and I command it to go in Jesus' name. And I pray that the love of God, which cast out all fear, that would just cover you, just sink you deep. Take the reins of your heart and direct it into the vast ocean of his love that would overflow in love back to him and to others. And that perfect love of God coming to you will deliver you from all this fear that's tried to come your way. Because understand, perilous times have come and are coming and are about to come, and people will faint from terror. I think about David Wilkerson when he said, listen, what's about to happen to America, even the most holiest person is going to be, you know, going through this. And that's definitely, I don't know who that is, but it's definitely not anybody here. Mm-hmm. So it's really going to be bad for us.
Exactly.
And so just understand these things, you're going to some getting the wind knocked out of you, your spiritual wind. It's just going to get hit so hard. But understand that coming out of that, people are going to be saved. That's all, you know, that's how stiff-necked some folks are. And so they have to be shaken out of their, because this is all happening, because God could just come back. I mean, he's wanting you to know him. Sometimes you have to lose some things to get some things. Sometimes God has to take things away from you so he can make you known to the Father and you can be saved. It's not about all this stuff. The things that you see are temporary, but the things that you don't see is eternal. And God is interested in your soul, and he wants you to know him. And in that, these things happen so that that we can meet the Lord and become known to him. And he says, and at this time, he says, you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. In other words, the whole earth is just shaking and quaking, and it's anguish, and the sun and the stars and the moon, and people are being in prison, and people are being betrayed, and people are going, I'm Jesus. You know, all these things are happening all over the place. And the only ones that are going to survive that are the ones that are truly sons and daughters of God who abide with him. Apart from abiding in him, you could do nothing. John chapter 15. And so in that, you're holding on and realize this is great. All this turmoil, all this ruckus means our Lord is soon to return. And it's like, my goodness. So it's like, okay, all right. And that's what the Lord was really speaking to me about, was, okay, we got to brace ourselves for this. We have to, how do I need to really, you know, make sure my abiding relationship is healthy and I can hear and understand. I have things just this morning, you know, God is speaking to me about something that he spoke to me about several years ago, but today's the day he wants to bring that into play at this part of my journey. But I had to actually record what he told me a couple years ago to understand the reason why this is happening now is because he told me, understand the Bible's 2,000 years old. To quit thinking like, well, that was last week. Understand that he just spoke to me. But as I was writing down what he said to me, and he was showing me what he was saying in his word to me when I'm sharing with you, he also told me you need to go back here and get this. And all of a sudden, what didn't make sense then totally makes sense now. And this is what's going on. So I want to encourage you. I want you to have the same experience. I want us all to get together and just talk about the goodness of God, the voice of the Lord.
That's right.
And we go, amen. That's what amen means, by the way. It means we're hearing from the same Lord. And he says, okay, because all this ruggedness, though, he tells us on, he goes on to say now, because you think about it, just imagine the whole earth is just shaking and you're being falsely accused. You have to understand, you're being betrayed, and people that you love, loved ones, are doing you in, and this is what's happening. And you're supposed not to defend yourself. You're supposed to wait and let God speak to you so you can win folks who are trying to kill you. You know what I'm saying? I like what Rick Joyner says. He says, you're not ready till you're willing to be humiliated for the sake of the ones that are humiliating you, right?
Right.
Because that's what he's wanting to do. We have to be able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then you witness to them. That's hard to do.
Yes, it is.
And we're trying to get there. Pat's already there. We're trying to get there. But then he says, because of all this ruggedness, he says, but be careful. I mean, God, think about this. Jesus Christ says, be careful. He said, watch out. He says, be careful. He says, prepare yourself. I mean, this is, he's telling us we have to participate in the process of this journey. I mean, think about it. We have to participate. You can't just sit back and think somebody else can walk this out for you. You stand alone before the throne of God. Don't miss this awesome opportunity to be loyal and loving to the one who laid down his life for you. And this is what he says. He says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighted down with carousing, with drunkenness, with anxieties of life. And the day will close on you suddenly, like a trap. Suddenly. And that's what the Lord was showing me was, you know, that we have to be prepared. At any moment, at any time, in the twinkling of an eye, and this and that and the other, that all of a sudden we have to be ready for that false accusation. We have to be ready for that betrayal. We have to understand, oh, this is just that. This is just that. Relax. Go abide. If something really tragic happens, you just say, I'll be back. This is what Jesus said. I had to go spend some time with my Father. That's where I was. Y'all were looking for me. He had to go abide with the Lord, with the right. Father, with his Father. And so he says, you know, he says, be careful, or your heart will be weighted down with carousing, with medications, with anxieties of life. And all of a sudden now you medicated yourself so much you can't even find nothing. You've drunk yourself into oblivion. You've medicated yourself with food, power, money, sex, all this kind of thing. You're gone. You know, you don't even know who you are anymore. And all of a sudden, suddenly this day comes on you like a trap, and you miss the coming of the Lord. You miss the coming of the Lord. And that's what happens. If you misinterpret this process and the seasons, you can start thinking hopeless thoughts. You can start thinking it's over instead of it's just beginning. You can start thinking death instead of birthing. You can start thinking hell instead of heaven. You can start thinking Lucifer instead of Jesus, you know, the opposite. If you misunderstand, he said these things must happen. These things will happen. But be careful, pay attention, prepare yourself, and watch and pray. And then he says this in 35. He says, listen, this just gives you perspective. He says, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the earth. So if people are telling you it's not going to come on you, he says, for this will come on all those who are on the face of the earth. So be on your watch. Be on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Think about that. What can we say when we're standing before him? Are we going to tell him, well, you didn't tell me. I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know. Yeah. You can't say that. You know now. And if you had 81% of the believers in America, according to statistics, don't even pick up their Bibles. How are they going to know this exists? But now you know. You don't have to necessarily read it now. You heard it. Now you know. You can prepare yourself. We have to be prepared for false accusation. We have to be prepared for betrayals. We have to be prepared for that because it'll catch us off balance. That's one thing the Lord was showing me. Is like it's just such an amazing thing to watch people who you have these great feelings towards that you want to see good things happen in their life to try to take you down. It's amazing. And it's just, your head just kind of like, oh, let me grab a hold of this. Let me grab a hold of this, you know, and you're still trying to be careful, hoping that they can make it in the midst of why they're trying to kill you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to prepare myself by God's grace in view of his mercy. And I want to encourage you to prepare yourself for the Lord. It's coming. Understand this, that these things have got to happen before this happens and that happens. But he says very specifically right now, even as Israel is surrounded by her enemies, understand this. That this day, this moment, the full number of the Gentiles will stop what's happening to Israel. We can do this. Begin to preach the gospel to everyone that they might be saved. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR all the way from Destin, Florida.
to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today, or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.